All right, so Matt, I learned the other day how to turn the sofa in my living room into a sleeper sofa pretty quickly.
Yeah, you just lay on it.
I just told Ashley to calm down. And so good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales. All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
How about you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I won't get into it, but if you're watching video, this little brace on my hand, I can't say I'm doing great. So
he's got a work-related injury.
I do. I'm going to call it that. The sad thing is my boss is a jerk and does not listen when I complain.
And won't pay workers' comp.
Won't pay workers' comp. Won't give me time off. Won't listen to me complain. All right. So before we get into it, we'll say go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. We're happy to be associated with them. They would listen to me if I wanted to complain, unlike my boss. But they have a list of shows that we're happy to be associated with, too. And they have some tips and tricks on podcasting. Think you're going to find something on there that you will like. While you're on the internet doing your thing, go and check out our sponsors. We have in our show notes, we always have the vanity code, you know, click the URL. You can go over there. And if we have a promo code, it's in there too. Very easy for you. Just click the link. I've always hyperlinked it so you can jump right over, get you something from one of our sponsors.
And, you know, I don't usually pitch anything in about this, but I've got to say, we have got some really incredible sponsors and the deals for what they provide. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, you know, I get it. You know, you're like, another this percent off or whatever. I'm telling you, go check them out, because there are some fantastic deals to be had for some incredible things.
Right.
You know, we have really got some, you know, knockout sponsors right now.
Right, we do. We're enjoying them. And like we've always said, Matt and I are not going to take a sponsor and take their money if we don't believe in the product. Yes, they are paying for a spot on the show, but Matt and I are willing to say no to sponsors. We have many times because we don't believe in the product or we don't like the product.
Yeah, right.
And so if we do an advertisement for this company, that means we use them, we like them, and we know that y'all will too if you try them. So also go over, check out patreon.com/graveyardtales. Sign up to become a patron. We've got 3 different levels, 1, 5, and 10. And all of our levels get a bonus episode a week. You know, we might miss one here and there throughout the year, but it's very rare. But you will get a bonus episode a week. And then our 5 and 10, if we run an ad, y'all get the ad-free audio and video versions for being a patron. And our $10 also gets the audio and video version of our second show, Side Quest. And Matt and I are loving doing Side Quest. It's a lot of fun. And hopefully, on another note, by the time you're listening to this episode, let Matt and I be the last to say Happy New Year to you.
Oh yeah.
We're about a week and a half in now. And so hopefully we are the last ones to tell you that.
That's right. We won't be.
Probably not.
You'll get it in like February or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Somebody you hadn't seen for several weeks, they're like, oh, Happy New Year. Dude, that was 2 months ago. Shut up.
That's right.
Yeah. Adam and Matt already wished me Happy New Year a week and a half late. So I've got my fill of it. But all right, Matt, so that's all I've got for the housekeeping. So why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
All right. So tonight, we're talking about a body of water. And I got doing this research, I got to thinking, if you consider a body of water to be haunted, there's got to be a reason, right? I mean,
right.
That's not that. It's out of the ordinary to say the least. But since this particular body of water has been formed, 500 people have died there,
which is wild.
And nearly 200 since 1994. So
wow.
200 people have died in this lake in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay. I lived on a lake for about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a rarity. You know, 200? Give me a break.
Yeah. But I lived off of Percy Priest for several years, and you might get averaging two or three a summer.
Yeah.
You know, out there boat. You didn't get like 100 a year. It's crazy.
So you're probably thinking, all right, get to it, Matt. What body of water is this? Is it Loch Ness? Is it,
Niagara Falls?
Lake Bacall? You know?
Yeah.
No. It's Lake Lanier in Georgia.
Yeah.
Here in the U.S. It's way out of the ordinary for the oddities that occur there, for the number of deaths, because the other lakes around it don't have near those kind of numbers.
Right.
And so
you would think it would be an area thing. If it's just a normal occurrence for that area, then all the lakes around there with similar geography would have the same amount. And that's not the case.
Yeah. So we're going to dig into Lake Lanier. We're going to talk about why maybe it has so many fatalities, and what has brought about this idea that there are spirits that haunt Lake Lanier.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with anything else, you know, especially this, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, the history of the lake, how it was formed, and what came about before there was no Lake Lanier.
Right.
And then we're going to talk about what happened after. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got an interesting history to it.
Mm-hmm.
So as we always say, go check our sources down in the bottom of the show notes. You can find where we found all the information, and you can keep going. Cause there's going to be some stuff that I leave out in the history portion just for sake of time, and sake of sanity. Cause there is a lot of minutia that we could get into, but I've said it before. I'm ADHD. I don't have the attention span for such things. I love history, but I got to take a break. And I figure a lot of y'all are the same way. You're listening to this show, so you have to be similar in that sense. But Lake Lanier, like Matt was saying, it's in northeast Georgia. So it's like 35 miles or so northeast of Atlanta. So not that far from a bustling hub of Atlanta, Georgia. Now, it's in the foothills of the Georgia Blue Ridge Mountains. And, before I keep going on my notes, like Matt was saying with the haunted lake, normally if Matt and I are talking about a lake, we're talking about a lake monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did a lake monster month. We had a series where we talked just about lake monsters. We don't talk about lake spirits, lake ghosts. So as we go through the history of this and the geography and everything, there'll be a couple key points that I'll kind of flag as we go through, and just remember those when we get to Matt's part of the notes here. Now, Lake Lanier is about 26 miles long. It's got 692 miles of shoreline, and it covers about 47 miles of the original riverbed there. So Lake Lanier touches 5 counties in northeast Georgia. It's Dawson, Forsyth, Gwinnett, Hall, and Lumpkin. And I'm sorry for the snicker in my voice when I said Lumpkin.
I didn't even think about that until you just said that.
Man, that's all I could think when I was looking at this research and I saw Lumpkin. I'm like, poor, poor Blumpkin. I mean, Lumpkin County. So the lake has about 100 small islands in it, which is a lot when you think about lakes and, you know, a lake of this size. Because I know Percy Priest Lake there that I used to live off of in Tennessee, it had a few islands. I mean, it was not 100 small islands. But we'll talk about how this lake was formed, and it'll make a little more sense. Mm-hmm. Now, at the dam of the lake is more than 200 feet deep. So it's a deep lake. And the lake is considered full when the surface of the water level reaches 1,071 feet above sea level. So that doesn't mean the lake is 1,000 feet deep. When I was first quickly reading through the notes on this before I started taking any down, I was like, it's 1,000 foot deep? No. It's about 200-ish feet.
Yeah.
But it sits at 1,000 feet above sea level. But that shows you how dumb I am that the first read through, I thought it's 1,000 foot deep. Jesus.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, Lake Lanier is named after the Army poet Sidney Lanier. Now, in its place, before Lake Lanier was created, there was a small lake there on the Chattahoochee River called Dunlap Dam. And they made it, completed the working of Dunlap Dam in 1908. But before Lanier was built as well, the land on which Lanier was built actually was a thriving community known as Oscarville.
Yeah.
So Lake Lanier sits in the place where the town of Oscarville sat. Now, in the early 20th century, Oscarville, it was a historically black town that was bustling with people. There was about 250 families in this small town. Not 250 people. It was a small town and it had 250 families. So this town was hopping. There was a lot of people living in this small town. People knew the town because of the farmland and the local businesses that played a huge role in the culture and economy of this community. It was a farming town. You know, they had a lot of people there with local businesses that sold stuff from the farms and the ranches and stuff like that, selling local goods. But for the building of Lake Lanier, congressional approval was needed. And it came in 1946 with the River and Harbors Act. And it covered waterways across the entire country. Now, Congress appropriated money for new projects that included $45 million for Lake Lanier. So, think about that. 1946, and they approved $45 million. How much would that be today? Like, think about that.
A lot more.
It'd be a whole lot. And there's people out
hundreds
there going, well,
of millions.
And they're going, dummy, it would be this much. Well, yes. Wow. I should have looked it up, but I didn't. I was stuck on the fact that $45 million in 1946 was a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, 56% of this budget went on the design and the construction of the lake. 44% was spent to buy up the necessary land and relocate families. So you see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The government is going to buy up the land in Oscarville, pay these families money, and then relocate them so that they can put the lake right here on the Chattahoochee River. They wanted to build the lake with the intent of serving as a hydroelectric dam, you know, hydroelectric power, and it would provide more water for Atlanta, which was growing super fast. And it was supposed to help with flood control mechanisms for that whole area. So this project that they were working on, they were going to call it the Buford Dam Project. So they had multiple intentions with building this lake: hydroelectric power, flood control, and they needed more water for Atlanta because Atlanta was growing so fast and they needed a reservoir.
And it was apparently very dry. We need more water.
Yeah, we need water. So if I know anything about Georgia, they get a lot of rain, so it shouldn't have been that dry, but whatever. It's humid there too.
Everybody was thirsty.
Yeah. Just put a straw in the air. You could drink Georgia air, from my understanding. Not as bad as Louisiana, but whatever. The government had to buy 56,000 acres of private land. And probably the most difficult part of the process was getting this land because people didn't want to give it up. Eminent domain, though, allowed the government to buy land for public use, and local residents had very little say. But I'll say this, unless the money is well worth it, I'd put up a big fight too if the government wanted to come in and buy my land for a lake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially if it was family land and I'm sitting there. I mean, I would say, okay, dig the lake around me. Leave my land as an island in the middle of this lake. But you're not taking my land.
That's what they do, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're like Bugs Bunny when they were trying to build the freeway.
Mm, you know? Exactly. Exactly. There's actually stories of that happening for real in I think the U.S., but also other countries, where people refused to sell their land. And I think one of those is out in the small town, small Texas town where my dad lives now. The highway, they actually had to build up and over land because this old lady wouldn't sell it. Mm. And they wanted to put the freeway in through her land. But she had such a long property, they couldn't just go around it.
Yeah.
So they put a bridge in. And now her land is under this interstate bridge. They're like, well, we'll show you. And so they just kind of built it over. But
which would suck.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Mean, you know, I look, my grandparents where my grandparents lived, it was next to an interstate, but the interstate was like away and up from mm-hmm. their backyard. It was kind of an odd looking backyard. I mean, you pretty much just could look into the backyard, big backyard, and then look up and there you saw the interstate. And it was loud then. I mean, it wasn't like you can't hear the television.
Right.
But the closer they get, the louder it gets. And if you've got a house that their interstate's going over,
mm-hmm.
it sucks. You might as well live at the airport.
Yeah, just constant noise day and night. Rush hour. I mean, can you imagine? You got a bridge going over your land.
Yeah.
And somebody, as inevitably happens with a bridge, drives off the bridge.
Oh, God.
Now you've got a wreck in your backyard. Literally.
Just a constant stream of 18-wheelers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, to begin with, they purchased land toward the south end of where the lake was going to be, around the dam site, so that they could start building the dam before they did anything else. Now, land that would be flooded by the rising waters was purchased piece by piece over the next few years. So they bought the south end, and they could start working on the dam. And then everything back from that, they started buying off piecemeal as they talked the families out of their land. You know, all right, here's an extra $1,000. Okay, here's an extra $2,000. Finally got the land that they needed for this lake. Now, as part of the eminent domain justification, the town of Oscarville was effectively erased.
Yeah.
So no more Oscarville. It's not like Oscarville was moved, you know, 3 miles to the left, or they cut off the north end of Oscarville and left the south end. They just erased the town of Oscarville. So over 1,000 people who were predominantly African-American families, many with thriving local businesses in the area, were displaced. Even the cemeteries, they claimed that they dug the people up and moved the bodies to another cemetery. Here is one of those flag moments that I was telling you about to keep in mind for when Matt starts talking about his part. First of all, do you think they took the time to dig up these hundreds, maybe thousands of bodies in the cemetery and move them all? And if they did, what kind of repercussions would that cause?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just wave the flag here and say, keep this in mind when Matt starts talking. Now, ground was broken for Buford Dam on March 1st, 1950. Now, it took a little over 6 years to complete the dam. Now, the Army Corps of Engineers is who oversaw the work, but they contracted out to private companies who actually did the construction. So they can say this is Army Corps of Engineers property, yet Army Corps of Engineers didn't lay one hammer down to do anything on this. But, I mean, that gave work to other companies, so that's a good thing. Other people had jobs, whatever. Now, Lake Lanier was physically excavated and then flooded gradually over a number of years. On February 1st, 1956, just 1 month short of 6 years after they started building it, they closed off the dam and started letting the lake fill.
Mm-hmm.
So it took 2.5 years for the lake to get to full pool, which that was like 1,067.77 feet. So, you know, like I was talking about the height above sea level
mm-hmm.
and everything. So that's where they wanted it to get. That took 2.5 years for the dam to back up the river enough. Now, that seems like a long time, but I know that it's just how fast the river's flowing, how much water comes through the river at, you know, over a month. I get that. But when I think of the Chattahoochee, I think of more water than that. But I know it's a slow moving river. But, you know, it's 2.5 years just seems like a long time. I know that's just my brain that is not comprehending how long it takes. But I would think at the end of the year, it should be half, you know, 3/4 of the way full, almost there.
Yeah, it didn't fill up like a bathtub.
Right, right.
They were
still having
they're standing around watching the water come up, you know.
They're still having to release water, so the rest of the river, I get all that, you know, so it's a slow backup. But it just seems, it seems like it should go faster.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, they say way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie coochie. So you would think, I don't know. I had to throw that in since we were talking about the Chattahoochee. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But.
Yeah. You're just like waiting to throw that in there.
I have been trying to fit that in. That didn't even fit, but I had to get it in there before. But anyway, the official dedication of the new lake and new dam was October of 1957. Now, boaters started turning up as soon as the water started backing up, they say. So as soon as there got a little bit of water in there to be able to float a boat on, there were people going, hey, look at this. So people started enjoying themselves before the water had cleared the treetops.
It's like my kids when we fill up the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, we've got a little above ground pool, and we started filling up at the beginning of the summer, and the kids are in there. There's not like 2 inches of water in there.
Yep.
And it's like Piper and the next door neighbor's kid, they're in there splashing around playing it. You know, 12, 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's like water pool.
Yep.
You know, that's what these boaters did.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean,
enough water for me to float a boat. Let's go.
Yep. Before it had cleared the treetops, they were in there, you know, boating, swimming, everything. Now, as the lake filled up, they allowed it to cover the trees up to a certain point, and then they cut the treetops off. And then the banks ended up being cleared off so that it had a spot to reach full pool level. So in that lake is a lot of structure.
Oh yeah.
You know, think about, Percy Priest. I'm going to bring this up again because Percy Priest was the same way. It was a flooded town. You know, there's a lot of structure under Percy Priest Lake, which allowed for good fishing. Because the fish could hide in certain areas. I caught a fish over the old cemetery in Percy Priest Lake because when we were reading the depth charts there on the boat, it would drop a lot where they had dug out like some graves. So there was a trench and there was a big catfish sitting in that trench. And so I pulled him out of there. But, you know, there's a lot of structure. There's housing foundations. There's tree stumps. And for several years after it's made, you got that whole tree sitting up that boaters have to watch out for. But it's great for fish. It's great for wildlife. And then the tree rots down to a certain point, but you've still got structure in this lake. And again, Oscarville Cemetery is in that lake. Now, the Olympic torch traveled across America to Atlanta in 1996. It came through Gainesville. It was actually rowed across Lake Lanier. And it came at the canoe and kayak venue on Lake Lanier. So they did events for the Olympics on Lake Lanier. They erected huge temporary stands to seat all the spectators and all that. But the Olympic torch actually crossed Lake Lanier. Today, Lake Lanier features over 90 different parks, dozens of campgrounds, and a lot of leisure water activities. They've got boat rentals, jet ski clubs, a ton of restaurants and lakeside eateries. Lake Lanier also has over 200 different swimming beaches, dozens of boat ramps, and Lake Lanier is one of the most popular destinations in North America. It has over 30 million people that visit it annually.
That's a lot of people.
Which is crazy. That means Lake Lanier has more people visit it than visit Niagara Falls.
Yeah, wow. So that's pretty incredible. I didn't even realize that.
I would not have thought about that until doing this research. And I'm like, that is crazy.
Well, Niagara, you can't jet ski at Niagara Falls. You know.
That's true. That's true.
If you know, I bet if they started letting people jet ski over there, that it'd pick up.
Jet ski, boat. If you would let bass fishermen come in, I guarantee you'd have a few thousand more people visit. Can you
imagine looking down and seeing all these dudes fishing off at the bottom of Niagara Falls?
Yeah. Dudes sitting in their bass trackers in the mist.
Yeah. They're just soaking wet.
Yep. And their rain jackets on and their bait caster reels throwing into the falls.
Have you ever been to Niagara Falls?
No.
I've never been either. I've always thought it would be a cool place to visit, but
I am
not well traveled.
I've visited once, but now I don't know about y'all, but I've been visiting takeout apps a little more than the gym here season, and you know I can't judge anybody else who's been doing it since I'm right there with you, but our sponsor for today's episode will help you out and fix that for you. It's Every Plate. It helps you feel good about what you're eating and what you're spending on food, even if you're busy. And that's the problem, is we have been so busy here lately that it just seems like there's not enough time to cook a meal. So what do? You get home, you crash on the sofa, you pick up that phone, and you order something to be delivered to your door. A, it's too expensive. B, it's not that healthy. And C, you can do it at home in a short amount of time if you just get Every Plate. And I promise you, it's good food.
Oh, it is absolutely good food. And Every Plate can help you dish up better habits with delicious, easy recipes delivered to your door, including new calorie smart, carb smart, and protein smart options, which is, you know, That's what Amanda and I are looking to do. We're trying to work out more. We're trying to shed a few pounds that we gained over the holidays.
Same. You know,
this is what we're looking at. So it's perfect. And with the new Smart Swap recipes, you can swap flour tortillas for lettuce wraps, white rice for lettuce, potatoes for sweet potatoes to make better for you meals. So skip the store and enjoy wholesome, homemade meals that cost less than groceries.
And that's true.
So set wholesome habits this year when you sign up for America's Best Value Meal Kit. Get started with 50% off your first box and a free month at Planet Fitness with code GRAVYARDPF, GRAVEYARDPF at everyplate.com/podcast.
That's right. Every Plate offer valid with auto-renewing subscriptions. Planet Fitness offer valid with $1 down due at Black Card membership sign-up. Additional restrictions apply. See everyplate.com/podcast for details. That's 50% off your first box and 1 month free at Planet Fitness with code GRAVYARDPF, GRAVEYARDPF, at everyplate.com/podcast.
You know, that is one thing. When I have the ability to retire, that is one thing I hope to rectify, is I want to travel more.
Since marrying Ashley, I have become more well-traveled because her and Michael would travel a lot when he was younger. He's been out of the country. His dad, on the other hand, has not been out of I haven't left the country. So I feel a little behind on this,
I'm telling you,
I've been to Yellowstone and he hasn't. So there,
my sister and brother-in-law and my nieces, they are
I'm jealous of your sister.
They are like Carmen Sandiego. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have been all over the world. It is incredible. The places they've been and the stuff they've seen. It is amazing. And you know, they send us all the pictures and stuff while they're there. And it's mm-hmm. almost like, you know, where are they today? You know?
Yeah. Right. They just randomly send you pictures and you're like having to guess.
Right. Yeah.
What country they're in.
We've done that. And we're like, yeah. It looks nicer than where I am right now.
Mm-hmm. Is this Brazil? Are you in Brazil?
Yeah.
Spain? Maybe.
Yeah.
Portugal?
Been there, both places. You know.
Yep.
All right. Back on track. Lake Lanier. Okay. So you see now.
Bet they haven't been to Lake Lanier.
I would dare say they have, but maybe not.
We got to find out.
I don't know that they're necessarily lake people.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Aha.
Yeah, we'll find out. Anyway, so all this, you know, you basically got a flooded town. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of people that were forced out. There's some definite reasons why this place might be haunted. On top of that, you add all the fatalities that I talked about at the top of the show. And you begin to go, okay, maybe, you know, there is something paranormal going on at Lake Lanier. Adam mentioned the graves. Okay. We're going to talk more about that. You know, You want to have a haunted lake, put it on top of a cemetery.
Yep.
You
know? Flood some graves.
But, you know, like I said, people were forced out of their homes, and that's gonna leave a negative mark, okay?
Yep.
And we're not just talking about Oscarville here. Until the mid-19th century, the Cherokee Nation inhabited the region of Forsyth County that would become Lake Lanier, and the U.S. government expelled most of the members of the Cherokee people in the 1830s in what would ultimately become known as the southernmost origin of the Trail of Tears.
Mm.
Okay. So, you know, we go way back and we find out, well, they've done this before.
Starting out with bad juju.
Yeah. after the Civil War, Forsyth County became home to many black and white settlers, but that changed in 1912 after the assault and murder of an 18-year-old white woman named May Crow. A white lynch mob killed the suspect, a 24-year-old man named Robert Big Rob Edwards. And then they began to attack all the black residents. Mm. And they forced most of them to flee the county within about 2 months. Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
Can you imagine living and then other citizens are just attacking you to the point you have to abandon your home?
No.
Holy cow.
No, that's insanity.
And this is not 1912. I mean, this is not like ancient history here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because of that, the mob was able to claim the land through a legal process called adverse possession. That even sounds bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just the name of the legal thing sounds bad, you know? But a lot of people believe that these horrific events left that negative stain on the region where Lake Lanier is located. So it makes me think, when we talk about, oh, I wonder why this hotel is haunted. I wonder why this church or this hospital is haunted. And we start to look back, you go, oh, the land that it was built on has some pretty terrible history.
Mm-hmm.
So we've never really looked at it and considered, okay, the land where this lake now is also has some horrible history. And, you know, maybe the bottom of this lake, you know, held on to all that negative energy. Now, some people will blame the spirits and the weird sightings and all this stuff on spirits that were from the graves that the Corps of Engineers never relocated in 1956. Now, just to be clear, the Army Corps of Engineers said they removed everything they considered dangerous in preparation for the lake. They uprooted trees, they moved barns and wooden structures, they relocated bridges and water intakes. But the community also had a cemetery, and according to Cesar Yabor, who was a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers spokesman, the Corps identified and moved marked graves, but some unmarked graves were likely left behind.
It doesn't make it any better.
So if you're keeping score at home, the Cherokee Nation populated this area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I doubt very seriously there were any gravestones from any past Cherokee that were buried in that area.
No.
Okay. Number two, we're talking about a time period post-Civil War, up to, you know, through the terrible events of 1912, all the way up into 1956, I guarantee you there were more unmarked graves in that area than there were marked graves.
Yeah, yeah.
There were.
I'd take that bet.
There were family cemeteries there, you know, and maybe they were marked, but they were marked with, you know, a handmade, you know, marker. You know, maybe it had a name, maybe it didn't, but over time,
a slightly larger than average stone.
Yeah.
As the headstone.
But over time, you know, those things become lost. They become covered with vegetation. You know, the elements begin to just wash away any etched names or dates or anything. And, you know, they're out there trying to get this area ready to flood with the idea that they're going to be providing water and power to the city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
They're not going to go digging and turning every single stone just on the chance that there might be an unmarked grave there. They're just not going to do that.
And they didn't have GPR at the time.
Right.
To be able to run over and go, oh, yeah, there is a grave here.
So unless somebody was out there telling them, this is a grave site, there's four bodies here that would need to be relocated, they belong to this family, they didn't, they weren't looking, you know, they were looking at this cemetery, here's marked graves, we're going to move these people and notify these families and, you know, whatever. But all this other stuff, you know, they were kind of like, well, we didn't know. And, and they didn't know.
And if they did, they could still claim that they didn't know just for time saving.
Exactly.
Stuff. They would just go, oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And you're like, but I told you 2 weeks ago. No, you didn't. And just move on.
Yeah.
I mean, all they have to do is put up the appearance that they're moving as many graves as they can.
Yeah.
And then they're good.
Adam, do you make New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, I kind of do too. And one of the ones I make every year is to save more money.
Mm-hmm.
And it always seems like by the end of the year, I have completely failed on it. You know? But I found an app that is really great at helping you save. And now they're a sponsor of the show.
Yeah.
And that's Acorns.
Yep.
And, you know, it's really cool because I don't really know anything about investing or making my money work for me or giving my money a chance to turn into more money.
Yeah, me
either. I really don't. That's with Acorns, it's okay. You don't have to understand all of that. It helps you take even your spare change, and it takes that money and gives it a chance to make you more money.
Right.
And you know, when I used it before, I was thoroughly impressed. But just like everything else, I kind of let it go by the wayside. But now I'm back.
Yeah.
And with 2025 here, I'm looking forward to being able to keep that resolution this year.
Right. And Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. And you don't need, like, it's not going to take a bunch of time either. You can create an Acorns account and start investing in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's super fast.
So basically, Acorns does the hard part so you can give your money a chance to grow. And like Matt said, it's super simple. We're doing it. We're letting our spare change work for us. And it like if we can do it, we know y'all can do it, because we're not as investment savvy as other people, and we are able to make Acorns work for us. Now, all you got to do is head to acorns.com/grave or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/grave.
The quote from this guy is, while the Corps made every effort at the time to locate unmarked burials, the limited capabilities of the time made it probable that unanticipated finds of human remains were possible, whether from the antebellum and Civil War periods or of the Native American origin from pre-colonial and ancient times. So they're just, I mean, they're saying pretty much what you and I just said. You know, we guarantee there were some there. Now, we talked about the number of deaths that have occurred, you know, like over 500, 200 since 1994. And I'm not even sure that number has got to be higher. But it's Lake Lanier is no stranger to tragic deaths, but 7 deaths in a single day, that's pretty shocking.
Yeah.
And this day was known as the deadliest day in the history of Lake Lanier. 7 members of 2 Gainesville, Georgia families passed away after their station wagon crashed down a 30-foot embankment and plunged into the lake on Christmas Day, 1964. Why does this horrific stuff happen on these holidays like Christmas? I mean, that's just,
I know that so much stuff happens on holidays like that. I think it could be that people are, they're enjoying themselves a little too
maybe,
much.
Maybe just people traveling that might not normally be out on the road. I mean, now,
mm-hmm.
But according to the reports, the car clipped the guardrail and hit a power pole so hard that it snapped in half. Some passersby and divers from the fire department jumped into the cold water to help, but visibility was nearly zero. Mr. and Mrs. Johnny Brown died in the accident, as well as 3 of their 4 children. Mr. and Mrs. Billy Rogers also lost 2 of their children, and according to Mrs. Rogers, the 2 families had been headed to an orchard to pick apples for Christmas dinner.
Mm.
So, you know, that, you know, a big tragedy on a big day, you know, it's gonna leave a mark.
Yep.
This one I found was really interesting. So a man named Kelly Nash disappeared on January 5th, 2015. His girlfriend, Jessica Sexton, informed police that Nash woke up at 4 a.m. that morning in their home in Buford, Georgia. He was coughing, sneezing, and generally not feeling well. When she woke again a few hours later, Nash was gone. His truck, wallet, and cell phone were left behind. The only thing missing from home was a 9mm handgun.
Hmm.
Family, friends, and authorities tried everything to discover what happened to Nash, including offering a $50,000 reward. The only evidence found was a surveillance video from a local gas station recorded the night before his disappearance. And in that video, Nash picked up a few items while on the phone with his girlfriend, but the recording showed nothing unusual. A fisherman found Nash's body in Lake Lanier on the evening of February 8th, 2015. Okay, so a month later, he was wearing the same pajama pants and dark shirt he'd had on in the surveillance video. Authorities discovered a gunshot wound on his body, but ruled his death a drowning. After a month-long search, Alan Nash said of his son, he saw what he wanted in life. He had figured it out and was working to get there. Strong relationships were what he wanted in life. Kelly wasn't driven by money, but by doing things the right way. So, either way, that Kelly Nash lost his life, it's tragic. Mm-hmm. And it happened there at the lake. So it says they found a gunshot wound on his body. You know, you would immediately assume somebody gets up, leaves the house, takes the gun and leaves all their personal belongings. And that, you know, they were going to at least attempt to take their own life.
Right.
But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that it was a suicide. He was found in the lake with a gunshot wound, wearing pajama pants. Why?
Right.
Why in the world? I mean, he was obviously sick. Why did he get up and go to the lake at all? Why did he go with the gun?
Yep. You know, why did he leave the house, period?
Exactly. And it sounds like from his father that this wasn't a guy that was suffering from, you know, any type of mental illness or serious depression.
Depression over money because he didn't care about money.
Right. So it's a weird mystery. And I think it just adds to that spooky mystique that people have attached to Lake Lanier.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another weird one, Adam. You might have come across this. There is a surprising number of boat fires and explosions.
Around I saw Lake something Lanier. About that. Yeah.
On Mother's Day in 2021, the Coleman family couldn't start up their boat after refueling. The engine just wouldn't turn over. They said, "We've never had a problem with this boat before," said Steve Coleman. "I tried it one more time and just bam." Coleman's teen son Gunner and daughter Taylor received extensive burns that required an airlift to the hospital.
Dang.
Taylor underwent at least 3 surgeries in her months-long recovery. And then another boat fire took place just 2 months later on July 3rd with 2 adults and 2 children on board. Both adults suffered severe burns that required immediate medical attention. Huh. Authorities continued to report a trend of boat fires at the lake, with 5 occurring between May 2021 and July 2022. A fire broke out at Lake Lanier's Sunrise Cove Marina on July 11th, 2022, and destroyed 3 boats. It says for all of these and many of the other boat fires, officials were not able to find an immediate cause.
That's weird.
And you,
because these fire officials are good at dissecting, you know, fire and how fire works and. I mean, they've got degrees on fire behavior and the chemistry of fires and all that stuff. And these fire inspectors pretty quickly normally can say, oh, this was accident, intentional, here's where it started, all that. Yeah. So for them not to be able to find a cause on any of those, that's weird.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I lived right on Old Hickory Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I moved there about 25 years ago, and the marina that was there had had a restaurant, and years before it had caught fire and burned. Okay. And so they never reopened the restaurant. While I was living there, there was another boat fire, that caught like 2 or 3 other boats, and it was a pretty significant one. Now, we're talking probably 15 to 20 years between these 2 major fires at mm-hmm. one marina. It's just not something that happens in clusters like that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because here's one thing that you don't necessarily think about when you hear these numbers is when there's one boat fire, what does everybody do that has a boat?
Yeah, they check their boat.
They go out, yeah, and they check on their boat, and they make sure that they've taken all the necessary precautions to prevent a fire on their boat. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's fuel storage, whether it's, you know, flares, whether it's firearms, whatever it is, they've got a fire extinguisher. They know it's charged. It's been serviced. You know, it's one of those things. It's like if you ever have someone that in your town that loses their home to a fire, okay, the sale of smoke alarms and things like that go through the roof because it's just that it's a terrible, terrible wake up call to everybody else going, this could happen to you. So you know that the people around that area were probably doing that after, you know, the first one. Where did all these other ones come from? You know,
yeah, right.
It's just strange. And like I said, nobody is saying a ghost did this, but it's just weird enough that it makes you wonder, is there enough negative sludge at the bottom of that lake to attract these negative events, these horrible right. events because of what had happened there in the past?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are several houses and structures near Lake Lanier that are also believed to be haunted. I tried to dig around and find some specifics. I couldn't find like anything that said, hey, this is, you know, East Montgomery Church and it's supposed to be haunted. I didn't see anything like that. But people that live in the area have reported things like footsteps in their homes, slamming doors, shadowy figures moving around. And a lot of people attribute these hauntings to the spirits of those that were displaced by the lake's creation or people who died in the water.
Yeah.
So talking about people that died in the water, it has brought out a couple of pretty famous ghost stories. Okay. And the most famous ghost story that comes out of Lake Lanier is that one of the Lady of the Lake. Now, in 1958, two friends, Delia Mae Parker Young and Susie Roberts, left a dance after getting gas and skipping out on paying for it. They skidded off a bridge while crossing the lake and disappeared. The following year, a fisherman came across a decomposed, unidentifiable body floating near one of the bridges. It wasn't until 1990, 3 decades later, that the officials discovered a 1950s Ford sedan with remains belonging to Susie Roberts, which meant that the body found way back in 1959 must have belonged to her friend, Delia Mae Parker Young.
Yeah.
But locals say they didn't need to wait on this forensic analyst to know that that's who that was. They had seen Parker Young themselves wearing the blue dress that she had borrowed that night from Susie Roberts. And they had seen her wandering near the bridge. And not only do they see her wandering around wearing a blue dress, they notice that she doesn't have any hands.
Well, that's weird.
And as the story goes, she snatches unsuspecting lake goers and drags them to the bottom.
Yeah.
With no hands.
Yeah. She's got two suction cups and just
flippers,
no hands, but full of suction cups.
She's like Davy Jones, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a pretty creepy one. And it is the most famous one. And
that's the first one I ever heard about Lake Lanier was the Lady of the Lake. And
I promise if you Google Lake Lanier, just Lake Lanier, you're going to find this story almost immediately. Okay. Yeah. It's a very famous story. And apparently the events that occurred, that they are true. All of this did happen. Now how many people that have seen, you know, the ghost of Delia Mae Parker Young, that's a little bit harder to pin down.
But her having suction cups for hands, I made that up. Yeah. That's not,
But it is a pretty wild story. And, you know, we've covered a lot of stories about bridges that were haunted because of somebody that died there or jumped off of it or something, you know.
Well, there's one in Arlington that we covered, and it turned out to none of that happened on the bridge that they said.
Right? Yeah. I remember
it happened on a whole nother bridge that isn't used. That totally different than this Lake Lanier story. Mm-hmm. This Lake Lanier story has verifiable details to the story. Yes, there were these two people. Mm-hmm. Yes, they did all this prior to. Yes, they had a wreck. Yes, we found the bodies and the evidence
and
of the wreck.
And the car. Yeah.
And the car. So it's all of that's verifiable. And so it adds credence to if one of these two tales, you know, the Arlington one or this one, were going to be true, obviously Lake Lanier would be more true because everything is verifiable. Yeah. It's not just a made up thing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this other one is the Curse of Brown's Bridge. Now, Brown's Bridge spans Lake Lanier, and it's also been the site of several fatal accidents. Now, the tragic accident involving Delia Parker Young and Susie Roberts is just one of many that have occurred near the bridge. Motorists have reported experiencing sudden car trouble, seeing apparitions, and feeling an unsettling presence while crossing the bridge. And these particular incidents have further cemented Brown's Bridge's reputation as being a haunted location. Now, visitors and locals have reported witnessing strange lights hovering over the lake, hearing disembodied voices, and experiencing sudden drops in temperature. Fishermen have told stories of feeling something pulling at their lines from below, only to reel in nothing. That don't seem that odd.
No, I've had that happen a whole lot on a non-haunted lake, and it's just some jerk fish.
Or you get caught on something, you know.
And that like, too,
I got a bite. And no, you don't.
No, I don't.
Now, swimmers have reported feeling unseen hands grabbing at their legs, trying to pull them under.
That's not normal.
Yeah, no. And that's a no for me.
Yeah, no joke.
Now, these unexplained phenomena have contributed to the belief that Lake Lanier is haunted by the spirits of those who perished in its waters or whose graves were submerged during the creation. Other people have reported seeing a shadowy figure sitting on a raft, inching himself across the water with a long pole and holding up a lantern to see. So I was telling Adam about this before we started recording, and I was like, so we know they're not seeing somebody doing this because that would be one hell of a long pole to get to the bottom of Lake Lanier.
That is a 210-foot pole that this guy is using.
So it's got to be a ghost, right? It's got to be some kind of specter. But there are even uncredited stories of nighttime boaters encountering this ghostly raft. And the passenger makes eye contact with the witnesses and then leaps into the water and swims after them. But when they go and they shine the light down on the water, he's gone. So is the raft. Which makes for a really cool story, but kind of just sounds like, you know, it's kind of like a fish tale, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, I like it. That's a super creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Super creepy tale, especially with the hands grabbing at you and stuff, you know. Think about that. I mean, first, like the night before, you're out fishing with the old man or whatever, you know, and you and he are fishing, having a beer or two, and all of a sudden this whack job and an old timey raft comes floating at you, pushing off a who knows what, and jumps and starts swimming at you furiously, and then you lose him. Well, then the next day y'all are out swimming and stuff's grabbing at you and feeling like it's pulling you under, and no, I wouldn't be swimming, first of all, because you know me, I don't do that. But, you know, and I probably wouldn't stay out there after old raft dude. There wouldn't be any more going back out there, because that's enough for me to go, you know what? Something is messed up about this lake and I don't want to be part of it.
Yeah, and I came across other stories that were not I couldn't really verify him, but there were people that had, they claimed to have seen like arms and legs on the bottom. Like these would be the exposed bodies from these graves, you know, just over time, you know, having either floated up or enough of the dirt had eroded to expose part of their body. And because the water is so deep and so cold, it slowed their decay. You know, I don't know. I told Adam about another one that they were talking about, these weird waves that will occur. You know, you'll be out on the boat and all of a sudden this big wave will just kind of appear. And
I heard about that legend, but.
And I thought, you know, look, it's a lake attached to a hydroelectric dam. You know, those kind of lakes don't behave like natural lakes. You know, they have oddities because of, you know, if the dam's running, if it's not, you know, there's currents and things like that. So the idea that, you know, you could pick up a weird wave, you know, you could be seeing, you know, somebody's wake, you know, mixed with the current. You know, there's too many things that would explain that.
You know, we also know that on the ocean, they have verified rogue waves.
Yeah.
You know, that used to be just an old sailor's tale. Nobody believed them about these crazy large waves out of nowhere. Capsized boats. Well, now we know for a fact rogue waves happen. Mm-hmm. Well, then think about a lake that has shores with wind. So you can get like a kinetic energy effect over time of wind blowing it, hitting the shore and sliding back in. And enough kinetic energy is built up to create maybe a larger than average wave. It's not some crazy rogue wave. Right. But it would be a, quote, rogue in the sense of there's no other behind it, just from kinetic energy with boats and everything else going and causing it to do that. So unless there's something crazy with this wave, like it's a 40-foot tall wave on this lake
there's
or
some
something.
Ghost surfing on it.
Right, right. You got the guy in the raft that's hanging 10 through the center of this wave. You know, then if there's nothing like that going, to me, a random wave, large, semi-large wave, that's not that crazy.
Right.
That's just something weird that could happen with the topography of this lake.
Yeah.
But the other stuff that you've talked about, that's the craziness.
And when you combine that with all the other stories, you're kind of like, well, I don't know. Maybe it loops in there too somehow.
Yep. And so one thing I heard, and I didn't find it in a lot of research, but I heard some people talking about it. There is a cemetery that is, it borders the lake. Like it's not right on the lake, but you have to walk through some woods and then you end up on the lake. This cemetery was supposedly where they moved a lot of the bodies that they dug up from Oscarville and moved to this. The Lady of the Lake has supposedly been seen walking through this cemetery. So there was a paranormal group that was out there and they kept getting these things that kept drawing them into the woods from this cemetery, drawing them further into the woods, sounds, you know, stuff, whatever. They ended up walking out on the shore of Lake Lanier. And obviously it's for the show. They were like, oh, we must have been drawn to this lake. But what if that's true?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they moved all these bodies that they did move, obviously they didn't move all of them, but the ones that they did move, their final resting place has been messed up.
Right.
And you've then moved them to this cemetery that is pretty close to their original one. So there's got to be a tie-in from all that land between the lake and this new cemetery and everything. So the Lady of the Lake that that you talked about, I have heard is more transient than just on the lake.
Yeah.
Like she's seen on the lake and then she's seen shoreline into this cemetery that's not too far from the lake, the current day lake.
Yeah, I did not come across that particular thing, but that's pretty interesting. I mean, there's just so much weird stuff going on that you can see why people would believe this lake is haunted or it's cursed mm-hmm. or something. You know, going all the way back to the expulsion of the Cherokee Nation there.
Yep.
You know, and all the events leading up to the present day. Yeah, it's had its share of weird events. So
the land that Lake Lanier encompasses today has had one of the highest amounts of negative stuff happen mm-hmm. that we've talked
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
You no know, doubt. There's been a lot of bad stuff happen on the lands that we've talked about, but compiled into one area, mm-hmm. this place has a ton of negative paranormal sludge that could still be hanging around yeah. that could be stirring the pot. And we've talked a lot in the past about moving water being a conduit uh-huh. for paranormal activity.
Yep.
If that's the case, then you have this conduit running right through the center of a paranormal sludge filled pot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just stirring this up. So to me, yeah, if there's going to be a haunted lake, Lake Lanier is going to
yeah,
be
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I agree. But what do you guys think? Maybe you've got a story from Lake Lanier. Maybe, you know, you grew up in that area or what you visited and you heard some odd legends or something about it.
Did you meet suction cup hands in
yeah,
a blue
that's
dress?
That's right. That's right. Did she lock on like either side of your head yeah. and then try to drag you in? Let us know. And the best place to do that is in our Facebook group. You know, jump in there. It's a private group. Everybody in there is cool. They just want to hear these great stories. You know,
and we know the two people that aren't, so we got our eye on
those.
That's
right. But don't forget to go check out our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. And there you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. You can listen to the show and you can become a patron. And thank you to everyone who has donated to the work that Adam and I have done for all these years. Pretty wild.
Yeah, it is.
Until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.